In the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. Let my prayer be set forth in your sight as incense, the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. In one of my first roles as a professional caregiver, I attended a workshop in which we were asked to write down what we hold most dear in our lives. Each treasured item was written on a card. Once we completed this exercise, each person was asked to turn their cards in to the moderator. One by one, each card was removed from our stack, each representing things like children, a home, perhaps a favorite pet or prized possession, the theme of living without things that we feel we cannot live without or we are dependent on. The lesson of this exercise was simple in its original context as a training exercise. When faced with great adversity, especially illness, what we attribute to our independence slowly fades until we are left with very little, without a home, loved ones, or modern conveniences. Where then do we turn? According to the Oxford Dictionary, the formal definition of compassion is sympathetic pity and concern for the sufferings or misfortunes of others. The word compassion is derived from the Latin word compati, means suffering with. When asked his definition of compassion, the Dalai Lama responded, sensitivity to the suffering of self and others, with a deep commitment to relieve its suffering. Former First Lady Rosalind Carter wrote, there are four kinds of people in this world. Those who have been caregivers, those who are caregivers, those who will be caregivers, and those who will need caregivers. Mrs. Carter's words remind us that none of us are exempt from need, that there is a rotational dimension to our lives marked by interdependence in community, in church, and in our homes. In today's epistle reading from James, it is written, but be doers of the word and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. Those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. To narrow down the basic concepts of our lives, what we hold most dear is also no exception when we consider our lives in connection with our faith tradition. At once, when we recall what moves us most in worship, we find gentle consolation in liturgy, perhaps a favorite prayer, or a specific saint. Spiritual disciplines become important as we search for ways that offer us a channel to God, incorporating the divine in our lives that at once can seem narrow or constricted. Compassion for ourselves lessens as we ascribe difficulty based on the facets of laws that promote not healing, but order. Today's collect reads, Lord of all power and might, the author and giver of all good things, graft in our hearts the love of your name. Increase in us true religion. Nourish us with goodness. And bring forth in us the fruit of good fruits. Increase in us true religion and nourish us with goodness. By bearing good fruit with a compassionate response, instead of clenched hands or uninformed judgment, we affirm our collective vision by declaring what is right, necessary, and true. In ministry, we become voices for the voiceless, to stand for those who cannot, as beacons shedding light for those to see on their path. to advocate and steward invigorates the grace given to us. The act of healing moving us beyond law and into a universe where the healer becomes healed and the healed become healers. We seek God in our worship, but we know God by our actions. Each one of us gardeners, planting seeds, or as bakers, leavening the bread of life, motivated by the gift of grace embedded in our hearts. We can look at the scriptures and see Jesus abiding by the rules of his era. We see Jesus not as a rule breaker, but as one who saw compassion lacking in rules which allow little room for error. By the word and deed of Christ, we are taught the essential elements found in Scripture that turn our heads to those in need. Rarely do we hear Jesus teaching doctrine in favor of pastoral sensitivity. Start to seek compassion. Let our goal be a quiet and humble salvation. Not moral code, but moral living. Not simply rules, but a generous principality of life. Suitable and necessary for life that gifts us with grace every day. Of life charted by prayer, service, humility, and gratitude. Our faith in the divine, of a supreme being that guides our hearts and minds, is found in many windows. But only one light remains. Let us never allow that light to be dimmed by disagreement, and abide by the golden rule of our fathers, to love our neighbors as ourselves, to treat others simply as we want to be treated. By returning to the most important means of our faith, of Christian love preceding actions that are pure and true, we shed our own personal intentions and act for the sake of others, of healers grafting the love of God not in our hearts but in our mission fields. In response to the many tragedies that unfold of violence, racism, and wars, let us return to the Jesus Christ who inspired great acts of love, of undefiled kindness, rich in compassion, and poor in division. A love that is sacrificial, a love implanted in our hearts. For we will never harbor reconciliation with only social doctrine, but to be doers of the word, we strive to transform our world by the basic necessities our faith tradition teaches. No greater love than love itself. Nothing so revolutionary as nonviolence in response to tragedy. In conclusion, I ask each of you to take some time to write down what matters most to you on a few cards. Cherish the goodness each one of them brings, of the independence, happiness, faith, and grace. For the value of community, interconnectedness, and shared compassion compose one of the best five-word sermons that has ever been taught. Love your neighbor as yourself. Amen.